That was reasonably okay. Good morning, saints.
Right, thank you.
Thank you. We got to be awake. I mean, the whole thing is being awake. You know, the time is at hand. It's time to be awake. I tell you what, when I wake up in the morning, sometimes I'm pretty groggy. You know, I feel like sometimes we get in a groggy mood and we're not really awake. So may the Lord awaken us to really hear what he's trying to say to us this morning. Let's begin with a word of prayer. Lord, we have come to you this morning. You have done your best to declare unto us that the time is near, the time of your soon return. And Lord, we want to be a people ready when you return, ready to welcome you. And not only ready to welcome you, to be a vessel that can hasten your return, Lord, and no longer delay. We know, Lord, that you're ready, but we're not. So, Lord, we're asking that you work deep in our hearts. I also ask, Lord, as I share your word this morning, that I not misrepresent your heart nor your thought. I do plead the blood of Jesus over all that will be shared this morning. And ask, Lord, that you would move in our hearts deeply to be able to respond to what you're trying to tell us in these days. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I've been sharing. I have three messages, and they have to do with the Lord's soon return. Now, at the end of the conference, as I began to think about testimony time that week we had, the Lord really impressed upon my heart the prayers of our brother Stephen. And the more I read those prayers, the more I saw that God was pouring out his heart to us in prayer. He was praying for us. God was praying for us. And I was so impressed with these prayers because I think they reveal to us God's heart for you and me for this hour in which we live. A specific purpose for you and me. A calling that we need to enter into for this time we're in. And I just believe it was prophetic prayers. I really do. And it was on my heart that we just couldn't leave the conference and go on without considering how God has poured his heart into a few prayers. And those prayers are for you and me. And I just wanted us to reflect on those things. Now, last week I shared on the first prayer, and I'll just read that real quickly. How we praise and thank thee that this is a perilous time. Thou hast gathered us together before thee to prepare us for your imminent return. Lord, we do pray that there will be a real preparation in each one of us that we may not only prepare to meet our dear Lord, but may be used by thee to prepare the way of thy return. What a privilege, what an honor you have called us to. Lord, we look to thee, for only thy grace can enable us to answer thy call and be truly the link that thou art looking for in these last days. We commit this time into your hands and pray that you would bless this time and deliver us from mental acceptance, but enable us by thy Spirit to enter into the reality of thy calling. We give thee all the glory in thy precious name. Amen. So last week I shared on it's a perilous time, a privileged hour. It is a perilous time because the Lord's imminent return. He's getting ready to return. The enemy is greatly agitated and furious at the Lord trying to consummate this age, because at the consummation of this age, brothers and sisters, the enemy will be in chains for 1,000 years. And finally, after that, released. And the Lord, with the word of his mouth, will destroy our enemy, cast him in the lake of fire forever. The time is at hand. It's a perilous time because the enemy is working in the lives of the saints, in my life and in your life, trying to destroy the life of Christ in this vessel that we carry before the Lord. It's dangerous because he wants to take you out spiritually. He wants to take you away from God's purpose. It is a dangerous hour. He will go to no... He will use any method to try to destroy our life with our Lord Jesus Christ, because he knows that a vessel dedicated to the Lord, dedicated to his return, prepared for the Lord and willing to be a vessel to prepare the way of the Lord is an extremely dangerous person and vessel to his own purpose. Brothers and sisters, it's a perilous hour. I think we have seen it in the activity and the atmosphere with all the tornadoes and the storms and the earthquakes and tsunamis. I think we've seen it in the economy of the world as they begin to crumble and being supported by paper money instead of some reality. Brothers and sisters, I think that we should see that in the United States today, a new religion is taking over. It's called political correctness. The United States was the last bastion of real spiritual strength in this world, standing for the testimony of Christ. That testimony has crumbled, and we're now suffering the consequences of it. And the enemy is replacing Christ with political correctness. And brothers and sisters, the government is enforcing it. So you see how far we have fallen and the dangers that we are in this last hour. A perilous time. But brothers and sisters, it is a privileged hour because it means that the Lord is coming soon. He says, look up, for your redemption draws nigh. And we have the privilege in this hour to possibly be the ones that have the opportunity to be the overcomer that will be raptured to the throne and bring in and welcome our Lord Jesus Christ to this, back to the cloud. Brothers and sisters, it is a privilege that we have. We just happen to live in that age when this may happen. Just like Samuel had the privilege and honor of anointing David as a boy that would become the king. Just as John the Baptist had the privilege and honor of making a way, preparing the way of the Lord Jesus in the first coming of the Lord, we now, in this hour, have this great privilege of possibly being the ones that will actually welcome back the Lord Jesus and enhance his return to this earth. But it takes a people that are prepared, and it takes a people that are ready. And so this morning, the title of this message is A Time to Prepare. Last week it was a perilous time, a privileged hour. This week it's a time to prepare. Last week I also mentioned that as I was in the midst of preparing for this, and frankly you never stop preparing, I'm still preparing, but I was involved in an intervention with a neighbor that lives two doors from me. He was threatening to kill his neighbor behind him. And I ended up being the one mainly intervening in this matter and get him into St. Mary's Hospital, where he was eventually transferred to a psychiatric ward in Williamsburg. And he's still there. They are evaluating him. And I do pray for him that the Lord can deliver him from his madness. Brothers and sisters, I ask the Lord, why, Lord, in the midst of trying to these messages, all this was happening. And the Lord said, it's a perilous time. It's a perilous time. You're involved in an intervention, which means an intervention means you compel someone. You're not just asking them, you're not just pleading with them, you're really compelling them, trying to deal with them. And I just really felt like the Lord was just saying, this is an intervention. I'm trying to intervene in the lives of my people. I'm trying to do an intervention to grab their life before it's too late. Brothers and sisters, the world went away from God, so much so that God said He despised what He had made, that He had made man. And He had Noah make that ark. And Noah preached all those years to the people, and they did not listen. They were not awakened. And in the end, right before the flood came, the Lord shut the door. It was too late. I believe that the door to this age of grace that we're in, is about to shut. Brothers and sisters, oh, may the Lord intervene in our lives now, that we might be aware of what He's doing and be cooperative in His heart and purpose for this hour that we live in. We have been called, but the word is very clear. Many are called and few are chosen. Brothers and sisters, the Lord has called us. I really believe that with all of our heart. I think the Lord's calling out to everyone. It's time. You need to be ready. But brothers and sisters, unfortunately, not all become chosen. Not all of the called become chosen. But I want us to be chosen this day. Well, that brings me to this second prayer. Second prayer. We got that? We don't have it. Okay, I'm going to read it to you. There's about 30 of them on that shelf right there, John. Could somebody just pass them around real quick? It's all four prayers on one sheet. I need you to, sometimes when I just say it up here, you know, a few words stick here and there, but I want you to be able to see these things. Just give it to, pass it around. Not everybody's going to be able to have one. Can you do the scriptures? Okay, the second prayer. Dear Lord, as we gather in Thy presence, we are aware that the time is short. We are aware that the time is short. But we praise and thank Thee because we can lift up our heads knowing that our redemption has drawn nigh. Dear Lord, Thou hast put upon our hearts a real longing for Thyself. You have put on our hearts a real longing for Thyself, and we long to see Thee face to face. We thank Thee for Thy precious promise, but it has been long waiting. Search our hearts, Lord. Search our hearts to see if there's anything in us that delays Thy return. I want to emphasize that. Anything in our heart that delays Thy return. Remove all hindrances within us, and prepare us and use us to bring in the King. So we offer ourselves to Thee afresh this morning, to look to Thy Spirit, to breathe upon Thy Word, and breathe in our hearts. We're not here seeking mental understanding. We are here to be changed. Well, as I read this prayer, and I emphasize, I really think the Lord's praying for us, the thing that struck me so much was the heart attitude of the ones that are prepared. The heart attitude of the prepared ones. The first thing was the prepared ones realized that the time was short. They really did. It wasn't just, oh yeah, I know the time is short. Just wasn't a casual thinking. Yeah, I can look around. Things are happening. The time is short. No. Right now, the time has happened. That's how short it is, brothers and sisters. The time is short. There was a sense in their hearts of how soon it would be that the Lord was coming. It was their heart, not just their head, that recognized this sensing from God that the time is short. Now, brothers and sisters, there's a need in our heart to have this sensing. There's a reason for it. Because, brothers and sisters, when that sense is in our heart that it could be at any moment, then we're focused. Our heart and mind is focused on the Lord Himself and on His soon return and the need to be prepared for Him, the need to keep short accounts with Him, the need to follow His will daily. We can get so caught up in the cares of life that the Lord seems to be in second place. He's got to remain in first place. I think this attitude has to be a real part of our hearts, or we won't be ready. You know, I think it's interesting. There's been many people that have tried to predict the Lord's return, the actual time, and others call it the end of the world and these kind of things. And the Lord's not going to let us know. You can read through the book of Revelation all you want to. You can read the Isaiah prophecies and the Daniel prophecies. And you're not going to be able to determine the exact time. Why? Because the Lord says, only God the Father knows it. That should be a pretty good indicator that you can search all you want to. But you won't know. Only the Father does. And at that time, the Father will say, Son, it's time. And the Son will know. Now, the Godhead is all-knowing, and it's hard for me to understand that. But there's something in God the Father's heart about this time that is so precious on His heart that only He knows it. And at the right time, He's going to call the shot. He's going to say it's time. And it will happen. And we need to be ready. The time is short. I think this is an attitude that will help us really stay focused on the Lord Himself. The second thing is the longing heart. This prayer says, Thou hast put upon our hearts a real longing for Thyself. Right now, this moment, are you really longing for the Lord? Or is your mind on what you're going to do when we leave this meeting? A longing heart. Oh, how necessary a longing heart is to the Lord's return, brothers and sisters. A longing heart for Him, the Lord Himself, His person. We can go through our Christian life rejoicing and being satisfied in the things the Lord, His mercy, His love, His grace. But don't you see that it is the person of the Lord Jesus that is full of love and mercy and grace? We can be satisfied with the blessings that He has blessed us with, many blessings. But brothers and sisters, where is the heart cry for the person of the Lord Himself? A yearning to really see Him face to face. Is that yearning in your heart? Is it really there? I'm not trying to condemn anyone. I just really feel like we need to know where we stand before the Lord and His soon return and being ready for Him. Is there that heart cry that says, Come, Lord Jesus, I can't wait any longer, Lord. I can't stand not to see You face to face. You are so precious to me, Lord. You're my heart's passion. Where is that yearning? That yearning and the cry to come. Brothers and sisters, it is a heart's cry that said, I just can't live without the Lord. I can't live without Him. I think of David in Psalm 42, verse 1 and 2. You can put that up. Psalm 42, verse 1 and 2. What is that song about, brothers and sisters? A lot of you know the 42nd Psalm. as a deer pants for the water. Mine, King James says water brooks. I like that better. As a deer pants for the streams of water, so my soul pants for you, O God. Okay, go to the second. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? David. That was David's heart. You know the interesting thing? God made a statement about David. An amazing statement. He said, David, a man after my own heart. That was God's testimony about David. Here's a man. A man is after my own heart, and he will do my will. After my heart. As the heart pants for the water brooks, as the deer. You know, we've sung that song many times here. Every time I get convicted, I get convicted. Oh, Lord, where is my heart? What does it long for? I've also thought of Mary, Magdalene. You know, when our Lord Jesus Christ was crucified and they sealed him in that tomb, they had done a quick preparation on his body for his burial, and they buried him. The soldiers rolled that big stone on his grave to seal it up, make sure nobody could get to it, make sure he couldn't get out if there was any inkling of life left, I guess. Mary's heart was so much for the Lord, she couldn't stand it. The next morning, it said it was still dark. It was right before daybreak. She goes down to the grave of our Lord Jesus Christ. She had such a longing for the Lord, even if there was a stone that separated her from His body, she wanted to be there. To try to sense His presence once again. To be able to share her love for Him, with Him. Even if there was a stone in the way. We know the story. The angels were there and the tomb was actually open. But the body of our Lord Jesus was not there. And at the direction of the angels, she and some others went back and reported to Peter and John, He's not there. The tomb is empty. And they ran back. Peter and John ran back to look in. Mary returned with them. Mary Magdalene returned with them. And they looked in. It says that John remembered something of what the Lord said about resurrection. And John and Peter returned. Mary couldn't return. Says she was weeping over her Lord, weeping that He wasn't available to her. And finally, she turns around. She sees what she thinks is the gardener, brothers and sisters, and she runs up to him and says, "Where have they taken the body of my Lord? I will go to it. I will take it. I will take care of it." Lord speaks. He speaks her name, Mary. And her eyes are opened and she realizes it's the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, how she wants to embrace Him, but He said, "You can't right now. I haven't yet arisen to my Father. You have to wait." She was so thrilled. The one she thought was gone forever was with her now. Forever. Eternally. What a joy in her heart. She had seen our Lord, our risen Lord, face to face, brothers and sisters. Face to face. Her heart's desire had been fulfilled. I've always found it thought-provoking that she was the first one our Lord appeared to. There was all those disciples. The Lord was with them for 3 years constantly almost. Why not one of them? Why not Peter, who was willing to die for the Lord until he found out he wasn't? John, who seemed to perceive the Lord and loved him so much. It was Mary Magdalene. You know what it was? I really believe, I could be wrong, but I really believe in all my heart that her longing for the Lord drew him to her. And she was the first one because of the longing. He couldn't hold back. He couldn't hold back. He couldn't wait till later to see the disciples. She was the first one. I think that, brothers and sisters, speaks loudly of who the overcomers will be. Those who welcome our Lord Jesus Christ will be those that have such a heart as Mary Magdalene, such a longing for the person of our Lord Jesus Christ. And he will not be able to hold back any longer. I think it is the longing that will draw him, because those with such longing are the ones that are prepared. Do you really know that the time is short? Has it really hit you? It may not have. But the Lord's given you the opportunity. He's letting you know the time is short. I hope you believe the Lord. You don't have to believe Jerry Amon. Hallelujah. I do hope you'll believe the Lord, though. It's His words. The time is short. Look at Revelation chapter 1. The time is short. The time is at hand, it says. An intense longing for the Lord Jesus Christ. Where is that longing in our hearts, brothers and sisters? Our longings get scattered. Our longings get dissipated with other things in this life. That's the enemy's work. He knows how to steal our heart from the Lord. But I think we can pray for a longing heart. I think the Lord knows that somewhere deep inside there's those affections for Him that has to be drawn out. Remember the maiden in the Song of Songs? She says, "Draw me, Lord. Draw me. Then we will run after thee. Draw me." Is that should not be our prayer? Should that not be our prayers? I think this heart attitude kind of gauges our readiness for the Lord. It convicts me, it has, how short I might be of this calling that God has called me to. He's called you to the same one. Let us cast ourselves on the Lord for His mercy and grace. Let this opportunity not pass us by to give ourselves to Him fully. Say, "Lord, You are my heart's passion and desire." That's it. Everything else kind of fades into the background. And this brings us to the second part of our prayer. I think, brothers and sisters, to have this longing heart, God has to do a little bit of operation on us. The second part of that prayer says, "Search our hearts. Remove all hindrances." Search our hearts. Listen to this. Search our hearts to see if there's anything in us that's offensive. That's true. Search our hearts, Lord, for anything in us that delays Your return. Search, Lord. Search. Brothers and sisters, I believe as the Lord begins to awaken our longing for Him, as we begin to realize how short the time is, there will begin to be a response in our hearts. Not only to come, Lord Jesus, but Lord, I need to be prepared. I need You to remove the hindrances that are delaying my spiritual life and that are delaying Your return. God is willing to search our hearts. Psalm 139:23 and 24. Once again, this is David's prayer. The one who said, God testified, a man after my own heart. Here's his words. Search me, O God. Know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. 24. And see if there's any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Wicked ways. I hope because the Lord used the word wicked ways, you don't say that this doesn't apply to me. Anything that draws us away from the Lord Himself is wicked. Wickedness. Oh, David's heart. Lord, that was his response. Lord, I want to see you face to face. Lord, search me. Try me. Remove any wickedness in my heart. That was his heart. Brothers and sisters, just a bit of warning. Don't try to figure it out yourself. Don't use what we call introspection, where you're looking inward and saying, okay, I want to discover all these dark things. What's going to happen is you're going to be so overwhelmed, you might end up in an institution yourself. I'm serious. Introspection is deadly. Look at Hebrews 4:12. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of your heart. Brothers and sisters, introspection will only bring you misery, and it will not deliver you. But if you will allow the Holy Spirit, through His Word, you're reading His Word, as you're praying before the Lord, to really say, Lord, search me. Then it is the light of the Holy Spirit that can divide asunder your thoughts and can say, this is the real intent in your heart, because we cannot know our own hearts. And the Lord has also made that very clear. Brothers and sisters, when you're into introspection, you're condemned because the enemy is going to keep you there. Condemnation. But when the light of the Holy Spirit shines, it is conviction. And conviction releases you to accept the Lord's sentence and to say, Lord, I'm willing. Take this from me. We must allow Him to point out the things that offend Him, the things that are sinful and hinder our relationship with the Lord. Hinder our relationship to have first place. I always felt like the light of the Lord is like an X-ray. It can get underneath the skin. It gets beyond the surface issues. It gets down to the real thing in your heart. And it is able to discover the hidden things. Brothers and sisters, these things that God points out may not always be things that appear to be sinful. It can be other things. It can be the things that you treasure above your Lord. It can be your hopes. It can be your expectations, your ambitions, your relationships, your pleasures, legitimate pleasures, your desires. These can be offenses to the Lord as well. I was really struck by something I read but in preparing for this. But you know, sin separates us from the Lord. Our sins. And if He points out sin in your life, you have to say, yes, Lord. Lord, forgive me. I take your blood and praise the Lord. He says, I will not remember that sin anymore. It's gone forever. He says, I'm just. The Father is just to forgive you because the Son died because of and took the penalty of your sin. But there's something else that is so serious with the Lord. It is called idols. Not just sin, but idols in our life. Things that we value so much and put in front of the Lord. remember how the Lord dealt with the nation of Israel over this issue of idols? Their severest discipline came over the fact that they turned to idol worship. Idols in our lives. Brothers and sisters, they can be far more dangerous than the sins that we commit because they take the place of the Lord Himself. I really was touched, I guess you might say, in this prayer because this search was not just for the purpose of making you better or improving your spiritual life, but this search was related to the Lord's return. The prayer says, "Show us anything that delays your return." Have you ever thought about that? That these things in our lives, whether they be sins or idols, desires, purposes, are actually delaying the Lord's return? Not just affecting you spiritually, but delaying the Lord's return. Oh, how patient the Lord has been all these 20-some centuries, waiting for His people to be ready, waiting that He might return. The light shines into our heart. It illuminates the things that need to be dealt with. Our sins can be put under the blood if we're truly repentant and ask for His forgiveness. The cross has to deal with those idols. Because the cross says, the real word of the cross is, "Not my will, but thine be done, Lord. Not my will, but thine be done. Lord, I have this ambition in my heart, but it doesn't agree with you and your desires. Not my will, Lord, but yours be done. Lord, there's this relationship in my life that I'm so clinging to. And the Lord says, well, that has to be cut off. What do? The cross says, not my will, but thine be done. The blood and the cross. Brothers and sisters, there must be a response in our hearts when the light shines there and points out something. There's got to be a response. Lord, remove the hindrances that are delaying your return. Remove all of them, Lord. Not just a few, not most, but all the hindrances. Is that in our heart? Are we allowing the Lord to remove all the hindrances? Brothers and sisters, our response cannot be wishful thinking. You know, we sometimes do that. Oh, Lord, I wish all of this was gone in my life. I wish I could do this, or I wish I could put this aside. That won't work, brothers and sisters. There's got to be a full commitment to allow the Lord to search you and be willing to respond and allow it to be removed. John the Baptist in Matthew 11:12. Can you bring that one up? The Lord's very serious about searching us and removing the things that hinder. And from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and the violent take it by force. The kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and the violent take it by force. That seems to be a strange verse. We've shared on this before, and most might understand it. It's talking about being violent with ourselves and not others. But John the Baptist was a vessel prepared for the Lord. And he was violent with himself. For him to get prepared, it was necessary for him to go into the desert and live a lonely life and be before the Lord to prepare him for those 6 months of ministry. He didn't have much in way of possessions, camel's hair, Said he ate honey and locusts, which wouldn't thrill me too much. I could deal with the honey. But that's the kind of man he was. God had called him, and he wasn't going to let anything, even the pleasures of life, stand in the way of the Lord's calling on his life. So he was definitely a man that was prepared. And what was his message? Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. So what was he saying? He's saying, look, the time's at hand. The kingdom is here, and you're not ready. That's what he's saying. You're not ready. You need to be prepared. You're not ready. You're not worthy. People, you need to repent. It delays our Lord. I want to be clear. In order to enter the kingdom of God, you have to be born again. You have to be saved by a simple admission that the Lord Jesus Christ loves you, and you do not have the qualifications for the kingdom, but He loves you. And He says, I've got to get rid of the thing that has been so offensive in your life to me. And it says, you're a sinner. I'm taking your place in death. I'm dying on the cross in your place. But I will raise you up with me. That's what this baptism is about. I will raise you up with me into newness of life and a new way of life. And you will begin to experience kingdom life in your life. That is being born again. And we talked about baptism. Baptism is that next step, brothers and sisters. It is a full commitment. I'm putting away the old. I'm taking on the new life in Christ. I'm going to live by His life. He is now my commander. He is my Lord. And I have to listen to Him. But brothers and sisters, there's more. If we really want to be those hastening the Lord's return, to be prepared for His return, we must ask Lord to search our hearts and get rid of any hindrance that is delaying His return. Think about that. Is there something there today that is hindering the Lord's return? All that is opposed to the life of Christ in you must be dealt with and done away. It must be dealt with seriously. Second Peter 3, 10 and 12. 2 Peter 3, 10 through 12. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness? He's saying everything that is opposed to me is burning, going to be burned up. It's going to be burned up in your life. It needs to go. The kingdom life must prevail. That is why this verse I've read about John the Baptist, it says we must be violent. We can't not be passive about this matter. We cannot just be lackadaisical, if that is that a word? I guess it is. We can't be that's a southern word, I think. Kind of easy going. You know, lackadaisical about this matter of the Lord searching our heart and dealing with. And if He finds something, not to give up until we see that it's dealt with, brothers and sisters. Sometimes we get encouraged and we pray this prayer, and the Lord points out something and He deals with it for a little bit, and finally we give up. We say it's not working. The Lord says you can't be that way. You have to be violent. You have to be diligent. Don't give up until this thing is gone. If you desire to be those who hasten the Lord's return and prepare His way, it'll have to be violent. It must be dealt with. Reasoning will not be accepted by the Lord. You can reason all you want to as to why you shouldn't put this thing away, but the Lord is not going to listen. It can be no excuses. Well, Lord, I've got to do this other thing first. Or, Lord, I'm just not ready. Give me some more time. You know, let's think about it next year. No excuses. You know, one of the things that I really love about Marines is they're taught when they go before the sergeant or whatever, and the sergeant said, "You didn't get this done." They can't say, "Well, you know, I had this knee sprain and my arm was hurting." They can't do that. What do they say? You Marines, what do they say? Come on. No excuses, sir. That's their proper response. No excuse. They will not be allowed to use excuses. You cannot be easy on yourself. Now, brothers, we all fail at this. We tend to be hard on others, but easy on ourselves. We can point out others' issues. We can say, "I know where that darkness is. I know what that is, and we want to deal with these brothers and sisters." But the Lord Jesus seems to be me as just the opposite. He said you need to be hard on yourself. That's why the Lord says, if you're called to actually help a brother and sister or deal with them, He says you've got to get that thing out of your own eye first. Get it out of there. Then you'll know how to help. Okay. How serious is the Lord? I'm going to read this, Matthew 8, you can put it up, Matthew 18, 7 and 8. We actually shared on this recently in our Bible study. And as I was preparing, I was really impressed with these verses. "Woe to the world because of its stumbling blocks, for it is inevitable that stumbling blocks come. But woe to that man through whom the stumbling block comes. If your hand or your foot causes you to stumble, cut it off. Throw it from you. It is better for you to enter life crippled or lame than having two hands and two feet to be cast into eternal fire. And if your eyes cause you to stumble, pluck it out. Throw it from you. It is better to enter life with one eye than having two eyes cast into a fiery hell." Really, Lord? Is it that serious? That I would cut off my hand? Pluck out my eye? Lord, lust of the eyes, just pluck them out. I don't think anybody has done that. But I want you to know, the Lord is saying this because He's wanting to get the point across. I am serious about the stumbling blocks in your life, whatever they may be. It can be a sin, it can be drugs, it can be many things. Your self-desire, your self-will, the idols that you put in place of Him. He's saying they need to be taken out. Stumbling blocks have to be removed in order to be transformed, to be suitable, to be those that can be used to bring back the Lord. Our spiritual life and relationship is damaged by the stumbling blocks in our lives, and it delays His return. What is He saying in this verse? I considered it and considered it. And there may be other things, but this is what I was struck with. Sin, its enticements, its pleasures, its pride, its selfishness, its self-centeredness feeds the fires of hell. It feeds the fires of hell. When we accept our Lord Jesus Christ, indeed the past is forgotten. It's dealt with. But we go on and we understand that the ways of the world still cling to us, still try to force their way into our life. And sometimes they get a hold of us. And they become a stumbling block in our lives. Brothers and sisters, it's got to go. Why do we find ourselves not growing in Christ? Why do we find ourselves unfaithful? Why? Because stumbling blocks remain. Those stumbling blocks are feeding the fires of hell, brothers and sisters. And those fires try to consume your spiritual life. And they will singe you. I want to be clear, though, because we talked about this the other night. This does not mean that a Christian will be put into hell. The Lord Jesus says in John 10:28, I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. No one can pluck them out of my hand. I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. God has given His Word. He who began a good work in you will complete it. He's going to do it. The stumbling blocks need to be removed. And I believe that's why the Lord uses such forceful words in sharing with the disciples that the stumbling blocks cannot remain. They have to go because the fires of hell feed on them. Eat up your life. The Lord is saying it's a matter of life and death to Him, and they must be removed at all costs. You must mean business. I wrote that little note in there. You know, brothers and sisters, it affects all areas of our lives. The hands, the things that we do. Our feet, where we go, our walk in life, our way of life, things that we allow in our lives, the eyes, oh, brothers and sisters, the lust of the eyes, oh, the things that we see, the things that we watch, the things that we allow, brothers and sisters, it affects everything in your life. Hands, feet, and eyes are very precious, aren't they? That's what the Lord is dealing with sometimes, is very precious things. Things that we value so much. But brothers and sisters, I warn you again, those things can become idols in your life. Are you willing to offer yourself today to the Lord? Search you, to search your heart. Are you willing to allow the Lord show you the stumbling blocks? It's a bit scary if you really think about it, because you don't know what's there. Are you willing to allow Him to remove the stumbling blocks because they're delaying His return? Are you willing to be violent with yourself? Say yes, Lord, and no to myself. Accept His will and deny your own. Are you willing to allow these things to be removed at any cost? Are you willing to set your heart to get rid of all stumbling blocks? You may not be. You may not be. But are you willing to be willing? I say we need to pray, Lord, make me willing to be willing until we become willing. We need to be diligent. Philippians 2:3 says, it is God who works in your heart to will and to do. So if we can just do that, Lord, I'm willing to be willing. Lord, make me willing. Just be patient with me, Lord. These stumbling blocks do have to go. No more excuses. No more reasoning. Brothers and sisters, glorious thing is when the searchlight has done its work, our heart, we find, is full of the Lord Himself. We find this heart longing for Him. We've discovered the one, the person of our Lord Jesus Christ. And all of these dealings, as the stumbling blocks go, He becomes more and more precious. We can see Him for who He really is. And there's that longing in our heart to see Him face to face, motivating us to be willing, to be prepared, and be those who can prepare the way of the Lord. Lord, we thank You this day. Lord, we have found one that has made a decision to be Your disciple, to go on with You. Lord, we want You to find those, Lord, that You're calling to be that vessel, Lord, to hasten Your return. Lord Jesus, we pray, make us willing to be willing to remove the stumbling blocks. Lord, search our hearts. Lord, it's almost scary to ask You to do it, but Lord, search our hearts. See if there's any wicked way in us, that You might also be able to say of us, as You did David, a man after My own heart. Lord, I pray for a heart like Mary Magdalene. Just could not do without You. Oh, Lord Jesus, we come to You today. The time is at hand. Lord, intervene in our lives. Be the intervener in our lives this day. We pray in Jesus' name.